Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him, what does your word say there? Twice. Circle that if you would. Appeared to Solomon twice and had commanded him concerning these things, that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord God commanded. A couple thoughts. Number one, first of all, the Lord appeared to Solomon twice. How many times did the Lord appear to David? Beggle. None. Miraculous manifestations do not produce spiritual maturity. Miraculous manifestations, frankly, that so much of the church pants after, do not produce spiritual maturity. In fact, didn't Jesus say, a wicked generation seeks after a sign? David, how did he follow the Lord? He had God's word, remember? He had his own Bible, but he had Nathan and some of the other priests and prophets that spoke into his life. David's model, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I won't blow up. Not the miraculous. Solomon had the miraculous. Did it do him any good? And secondly, Solomon is held accountable for that which he saw and which he heard. Bible studies and kingdom experiences in the kingdom, moving in and around the church, things we've seen firsthand, God holds us accountable to. Yes, there is much grace, much mercy when we blow it. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5, verse 11. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food, if you will, meat. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. And he is a, what does your word say? He is a baby. Who are you calling baby, Paul? Verse 14. But solid food, the meat, if you will, solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, if you have a highlighter, highlight this. Those who, by reason of, say it with me, use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. In the Christian church today, how did J. Vernon McGee say, sermonettes by pastorettes equal Christianettes? What is the church supposed to do? What does Paul tell Timothy? Timothy, make sure you have lots of smoking, jamming programs so that people come into your church building and they find their spot where they can kind of fit in and then begin to cluck with joy. Paul said this, Timothy, teach the, what everybody? Word. Equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Christianity is the only team sport where all the players are on the sidelines rooting the coaches on in the middle of the field. Go, pastor. Go, pastor. Go, pastor. How do you get knowledgeable in God's Word is get knowledgeable in God's Word. My job is to teach you guys how to use a Bible dictionary, how to use a commentary, how to get into the words and learn the histories and the manners and the customs. BlueLetterBible.com and eSword, and you too can dig into what the words mean. Because if you're eating only from this table, my table, so to speak, you're going to become anemic. And when the enemy comes in with what he always does, his perfectly tailored lie and challenge, it smells like 98% truth and sure sort of tickles my own sort of appetites. But if I can't bust it in the Word, I won't see what the devil is doing. Verse 9, so the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods, but he did not keep what the Lord had commanded, as I said. Miraculous events do not equal mature Christians. And number 2, we are held accountable to what we learn and what we see. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this, you have not kept my covenant with my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servant. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. In other words, you're going to die in firm command of the kingdom. But for the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. And that's going to be a fellow by the name of Rehoboam. Verse 13, however, I will not tear away the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son. Mark that, the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah was in the southern region where the city of Jerusalem is. One tribe, Judah, to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen. Verse 14, now the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon. Why does God do that? If God is more powerful than Satan, why doesn't he flush him? The answer is, he will one day. But in the meantime, please take notice, Solomon has drifted from the heart of the Lord. What is God going to use to get him back? A troubling three thorns. Let's check it out. A fellow by the name of Hadad. Hadad's name means mighty. That's thorn number 1. Let's check it out. The Edomite. He was a descendant of the king of Edom, for it happened when David was in Edom, and Joab, the commander of the army, had gone up to bury the slain, after he had killed every male in Edom, according to the word of the Lord, because for 6 months Joab remained there with all of Israel until he had cut down every male in Edom, that Hadad, as a young boy, fled and to go to Egypt. He and certain Edomites of his father's servants with him. Hadad was still, at that time, a little child. Then he arose from Midian, came to Paran, and they took men from them from Paran, and then came to Egypt. To Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who gave him a house, apportioned food for him, and gave him land. Egypt always is a model of the what? The world. And Hadad found great favor in the sight of Pharaoh, so that he gave him as wife the sister of his own wife, and that is the sister of Queen Tapenes. Then the sister of Tapenes bore him Genubath, his son, who Tophanes weaned in Pharaoh's house, and Genubath was in Pharaoh's household among the sons of Pharaoh. So when Hadad heard in Egypt that David rested with his fathers, that's to say he's dead, and Joab, the commander of the army, was dead, Hadad said to Pharaoh, hey, let me depart, that I may go to my own country. Pharaoh was like, why? But what have you lacked with me that suddenly you seek to go to your own country? So he answered, nothing. Oh, I appreciate it, but I got to get back. So what is Hadad sort of thorn number 1? He is a person that was conquered by King David, vanquished. Most of his family was gone, but he himself survived. That serves nicely as a model to me. Former sins and little pet deliciousnesses that I used to love, and I got rid of him and all of his relatives and banished him after a season of, prayer and fasting, and those things don't bother me anymore. And where did he live? He lived in the world. And did the world love my little sins? Oh, it loves my little sins. Nurtured them back to health, so to speak. And then you know what your sins want to do after you have stood against them and banished them? Do you know what they want to do? They want to come back into the land. Thorn number one. So Jesus, does he recognize in us sometimes that we're sort of moving away from his heart? So what does he do? He gives us the word first. In Solomon's case, he visited him twice. Solomon's not listening. So what is God going to do? I'm going to let a little of the old life sneak back in. Verse 23. God raised up another adversary against him, Rezon. His name means prince. He's the son of Eliadah, who fled from his lord. Read this next guy, the rebel against authority. Hadadezer, king of Zobah, so he gathered men to him, rebels usually do that, and became captain over a band of raiders. See, I'll bet your team isn't in the Bible. My team is in the Bible. The Seahawks, they're not in the Bible. Verse 25, he was an adversary of Israel all the days of Solomon. Besides the trouble that Hadad caused, he abhorred Israel and reigned over Syria. So that's the second thorn. First thorn is, sometimes God allows my old stuff to allow to get creeping back into me. I thought I had victory over that thing. What if God allows them back? Why? To wipe me out? No. To drive me back to the foot of the cross. And then thorn number two, the rebel, that little lawyer that lives in all of us. I don't have to do what God's word says. Then Solomon's servant, Jeroboam. This is thorn number three. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the Ephraimite from Zereda, whose mother's name was Zeruah, she was a widow, also rebelled against the king. Now a man who became the third thorn for Solomon, God is going to use him to split the house of Israel. Starting after tonight, you're going to see that the nation of Israel is going to get split into two kingdoms. The northern 10 tribes are going to be called collectively Israel. And the southern 2 tribes, that's called Judah. Where did this civil war in God's house, where did it begin? It began after Solomon's watch. And one of the guys that God uses is this rebel named Jeroboam. Number one, the old sins wanting back into the land. Number two, the rebel that's within us all that wants to jump out ahead of biblical authority. And now Jeroboam, thorn number three. Watch the details. Watch his description. He is industrious. He is gifted. He has great ability. He is a faithful servant. He had great ability, but not enough experience, I think, with God. He had great talent, but he had not been tempered by the refining fire of the Lord. He was very, very blessed, but he had never been truly broken by the Lord. Be careful, leaders who have that aspiration of leadership and maybe a rather impressive resume of leading things quite handily. Thank you very much. Many people come into the house of God thinking, I would be an excellent candidate to be a leader. God is going to use Jeroboam mightily, or the destruction of God's own house. God can use anyone, anything, at any time for his ministry. How many of you believe that? I do. And no matter what happens, God always gets the glory. I, Pastor Steve, pray that God is able to use me for his kingdom because I'm humble, hopefully, broken, hopefully, needy and completely dependent on him, hopefully. That hopefully qualifies me for a shepherd of the flock. For those who won't learn, won't hear, won't see, he uses them too to test and grow the shepherds. It's a very quiet crowd out here tonight. Let's watch and see. Verse 27. And this is what caused him to rebel against the king. Solomon had built the Milo, that was that retaining wall which leveled out the crest of Mount Zion. Solomon had built the Milo and repaired the damages to the city of David, his father. The man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. Is that a good thing? Absolutely. And Solomon, seeing that the young man was industrious, made him the officer over all the labor force of the house of Joseph because of his faithfulness and his excellence. Now it happened at the time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, met him on the way. Here comes God's word to a gifted, talented, faithful servant of the king. And he clothed himself with a brand new garment, and the two were alone in the field. And Ahijah took hold of the new garment that was on him and tore it into 12 pieces. How many tribes of Israel were there, everybody? There were 12 tribes. Verse 31. And he said to Jeroboam, take for yourself 10 pieces, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon. Why? Because Solomon was not obeying God. And will give you 10 tribes. Verse 32. But he shall have one tribe. There is going to be one tribe still reserved for Solomon's house, for Solomon's son, Rehoboam. But he shall have one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem. Verse 33. Because they have forsaken me and worship Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of the people of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do what is right in my eyes and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did his father David. Verse 34, however, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand because I have made him a ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand and give it to you, 10 tribes. And to his son I will give one tribe, verse 36, that my servant David may always have a lamp before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen for myself to put my name there. So I will take you, and you shall reign over all your heart desires, and you will be king over Israel. Then it shall be, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways, and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as my servant David did, then I will be with you and build for you an enduring house, as I built for David, and will give Israel to you. And I will afflict the descendants of David because of their sin, but not forever. God is saying, I will use you mightily, Jeroboam. You're a talented guy. You've got great experience. You are a faithful servant to the king. If you walk in obedience to my word, I will bless you. Did Jeroboam do that? The answer is, he most certainly did not. And it's going to be him who's going to introduce idolatry into the northern 10 tribes, of which will become so gripped by these worldly things that God is going to have to bring the Assyrians down and wipe out all of that northern region. God gave him an opportunity to hear his word, and Jeroboam went, okay, sure, but did he? No. Verse 40. Solomon, therefore, looked at this third thorn, and he sought to kill Jeroboam. But Jeroboam arose and fled to Egypt, Shishak, the king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom, are they not written in the books of the acts of Solomon? There is a book, by the way, that was in existence, but it's not with us now. By the way, if you ever hear somebody say, you know, there's lost books of the Bible. And you're like, really? And you may ask yourself, why are there lost books of the Bible? And the answer is, because they weren't scripture. Does that make sense? There's lost books out there, as if some important stuff has been left out. Please understand that the 27 books of the New Testament and all the Old Testament books, 66 in all, those are the books that God says that I have inspired every word, every dotting of the I and crossing of the T. So there was a book called the Acts of Solomon. What are they? Some have said, is that the book of Chronicles? I don't know. But the point of it is, if it was something that God wanted us to study because it was inspired, God would have seen to it that it would stood the test of time and landed in our laps, much like these 66 books. Verse 42. And the period that Solomon reigned over Jerusalem was 40 years. Hey, how long did his father David rule? 40 years. Then Solomon rested with his fathers and was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, who we're going to get to know next week, reigned in his place. David and Solomon both reigned for 40 years. There's a strong model here. David, how did he love the Lord, you guys? With his whole heart. You can see that in the Psalms. Solomon had a divided heart. Would you agree with me? Well, he liked the Lord until it got in the way of his 700 wives and 300 concubines. And all of his cart collection, etc., etc. Solomon had a divided heart. David left the kingdom whole to the glory of God. Solomon is going to leave the kingdom divided, just like his heart, at war with itself and desperately needing God's refining fire. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the history, real history with real people and real instances. But Lord, there's all kinds of gold in these understandings. Lord, help me when I'm tempted to look at a task or a challenge in front, quickly assess the needs and resources required to conquer that particular situation. Look in my own reserves and say, I got this. There's a danger modeled by Jeroboam. He was a talented guy who had a pretty strong resume. He was gifted, he was a natural leader, very likely, and he had been faithful in the service of the king. And then God brought the word to him and said, Jeroboam, I want to use you if you'll just do what my word says. Jeroboam will refuse God's word. And believe you me, Jeroboam will be used mightily of the Lord to divide God's people and destroy many. Powerful, powerful picture, Lord. Help me, Lord, try to be one of those shepherds, I pray, whose close companion is humility and brokenness and being open always to the word of God when it comes to me. Because, Lord, your promise is you'll use me no matter what coconut move I employ. And I pray, Lord, may Harvest be people who are hungry and thirsty for the word of God, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, staying humble, teachable, accountable. And that means we're going to make it. And then you're going to use us, Lord, wonderfully and mightily. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching and encouragement tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.